You know, we love our first-time guests, and you gotta love how the world works. Our guest and I began our journeys in a place called North Jersey. He and Roselle, me and Wayne. He's made his way to Chapel Hill, Dallas. He's a Lone Star State resident, hosts the Believe in Cowboys podcast on Twitter. Follow along using the handle at Mr. Fourth and Long. Jesse Holly joins us. Jesse, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
Man, I'm glad to be here. Thank you guys for having me. Life is good. It's hot. Life is hot in the great state of Texas. It's been that way, it seems. Boy, you know it's bad when you get 98 degrees, and that's a relief. That's how hot it's been here. But life is good. Can't complain too much.
So that's funny. Growing up in that part of Jersey where 280 meets Route 78, as a first-time guest, I got to ask, you know, your family, your friends, were you big New York sports fans, Mets, Yankees, Knicks, Nets, Jets, Giants? I'm always curious about somebody I'm just getting to meet, their sports upbringing.
You know what's interesting? I'm the middle of three boys, and so you know, I was always the kind of the rebel of the group, and so you know, my brothers they liked the Giants, so I didn't too much care for the Giants. I did enjoy watching Wayne Corbett growing up because my athletic director in high school was Wayne Corbett's uncle, so I got a chance to see that. You know, my brother, again, brothers liked the Knicks, didn't like the Knicks. We used to go to Nets games because this was back in the day. I don't know how old you are, but I'm old enough to remember when the Nets weren't really good and they would give tickets away with like the White Castle Crave Pack back in the day. You get like four tickets, a 30 sack fries drink for like $25 or something like that back in the day. And so my grandmother would take us to Nets games, and my uncle would take us to Nets game every now and again when they had the Nets and White Castle Crave Pack special. So, you know, and then we always cheered for the Yankees. It was always that they've been the dominant team in the tri-state area for a long time, so you always rooted for the Yankees.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm old enough to where I saw the Giants play in Yankee Stadium in 1973. So I'm a lot older than you. So you're a graduate of Abraham Clark High, which for older fans, Rosie Greer went there, fearsome foursome. So I'm also always curious as to recruiting stories. When it was time to pick the college you were going to, what were some of the places you considered and what finally made you decide North Carolina as a what turned out to be a two-sport athlete?
Yeah, I'll go back to the end of the question and then to the front. You know, North Carolina, I wasn't even going to take their visit. Like, that's how they were the fourth. I don't know what it is now. I think it's five now, but I know before it was four official visits. And I remember taking an unofficial to Syracuse, an unofficial to Maryland because they were, you know, close in proximity. And then my original first choice was UCLA. And the reason at UCLA, I was playing AAU basketball, and we were playing in a tournament in Vegas, but we flew into L.A. for like a warm-up game in L.A., and my coach took us to the UCLA campus, and he gave us kind of a history of John Wooden. And the thing that just compelled me, which is weird, was I just saw a bunch of adults walking around with book bags on and no one telling them what to do. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to do this here. And my grandmother said, you can go wherever you want to go to school at, but just know I can't afford to go to California to see you play. And so I kind of narrowed my search back, and it ended up being Ohio State, Michigan State, and then, of course, we all have our high school sweetheart. My third choice was Virginia because at the time my little girlfriend, she went to either Howard or Hampton. So that was like kind of relatively close to the, you know, Maryland and Virginia were kind of relatively close D1 universities there. And then North Carolina was going to be my very last visit in hopes that I didn't have to go on that visit because I'd already made my decision at one of those other three schools. But thanks be to my grandmother, who was a woman of integrity. And, you know, when it came down to North Carolina visit, you know, and she was asking me about it, I said, I'm not going. And she said, yes, you are. You're going to be a man of your word. And at least you're going to show up because you told those men that you were coming. you don't have to go to school there, but you will honor your word and take that visit. And I did, and it was the most absolute best visit I've ever been on in my life. They rolled out the double red carpet for me, private jet out of Teterboro Airport. I mean, had breakfast with Dean Smith.
Wow.
Talked to Julius Peppers and Ron Curry, because my decision I had made in high school was wherever I went, I was going to be a dual sport athlete. And that's how I ended up at North Carolina.
Well, obviously, Ronald Curry was one of those two. Talking with Jesse Holly, Believing Cowboys podcast. So I got to ask you about 2005. I mean, you were part of Roy Williams' first national title team, Rashad McCants, Ray Felton, Sean May. I mean, so when I mention 2005 national champs, what memories come to your mind?
The most fun I've had on a team in my life. That team, and it's odd, the funny part about it was when we began that year, it was us in Illinois since from start to finish. And they always labeled Illinois, who had D. Brown and Darren Williams and Luther Head and a bunch of – they were always labeled Illinois as the best team in the country and labeled Carolina the most talented team in the country. And Coach Williams took offense to that. And he was like, you know what, gosh darn it, yes, we are talented, but we are also the best team in the country. And we had an early loss to Santa Clara, and that drops a little bit, and we just kept that mindset all year long. We are the most talented team, but we also are the best team. And that was kind of our driving force throughout the year. And I tell you, man, we had some of the greatest times ever that year, and we went from just – start to finish, it was 1-2 all year long with Illinois. And then, you know, not often you get a chance to kind of finish the year with facing the team that most people thought was better than you or as good as you with beating them. And it was an amazing ride. And to do it at Carolina and for it to be Coach Williams' first national championship made it even more special.
Nah, that team was loaded, and like you said, you got to prove it on the court. All right, I can get carried away with history. Let's get to the Cowboys. You know, I'm a lifelong Giants fan, as I told you. So I don't what I'm about to say, I don't take lightly. Micah Parsons' first 2 years kind of reminds me of Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's just the guy who just wrecks all you try to do on offense. You follow him. You see him game in, game out. Just how special of a first couple of years has number 11 been?
And just so we're clear, you know, most people forget this. Lawrence Taylor is a Tar Heel.
Right.
Go Heels. I only want to put that out there. LT is a North Carolina Tar Heel. But, you know, to your point, you know, Michael Parsons is one of those gifted athletes. When you look at him, 6'3", 250 pounds, can run like the wind, as strong as a bull. And the thing about Micah that I think a lot of people don't get a chance to see on an everyday basis, we live in a time now where superstars don't like doing the dirty work. Superstars, they don't want to practice. They don't want to meet. They don't want to do all the extra work. Not this kid. This kid wants to compete at everything. We did a home run derby. We have this annual home run derby that we do with the Cowboys every single year. And last year, Michael Parsons, this is a competitor of him. When he got to the baseball stadium and he realized that, you know, they were counting everyone's home runs, he wanted his own bat. And so he literally sent someone to, like, Dick's Sporting Goods or Sports Authority and bought a $500 bat just to bat in the home run derby. Like, that's the competitive nature that is Michael Parsons. And I think, you know, Dan Quinn got a chance to discover something in him due to injury. Because remember, Michael Parsons didn't come into this team as this prolific pass rusher. He was a really good athletic linebacker, what you need in the National Football League now with all these running backs and tight ends who run like wide receivers now. And then we had two injuries, and we needed some defensive ends. And Michael Parsons went and played defensive end out of necessity. And all of a sudden, it was, oh, my God, this kid is just disrupting and destroying everything. And he has been an absolute treat to cover, to watch, and he has the competitive spirit of a guy like Lawrence Taylor.
Talking NFL, I on the Cowboys, Jesse Holly of the Believing Cowboys podcast. You know, the same draft 2 years ago, a guy they took in the third round doesn't get the same ink, but I was reading about the strides he's been making, Odighizuwa. So, Jesse, for those not familiar, from year one to year two, I mean, how much of a big-time player do you think this guy is growing into?
You know what? He really is. And what this Cowboys defense has needed for a long time. I got a chance to play with guys like Jay Ratliff. And when you need those interior guys, especially with the way that the quarterbacks get the ball out so fast now, is you need those guys to really, collapse that pocket and give guys like Micah Parsons short edges and linebackers like Leighton Vander Esch, keeping those guys clean. So, you know, Osa has really been taking those steps to find himself as a key member of this defense. And that's the one thing about Dan Quinn, man. He got a chance to get in here, get his hands on the guys that he wanted, and just really be able to rotate these guys and have a mix of guys playing inside, outside, and be able to kind of just have this mad scientist type of thing. So, you know, Dan Quinn, his hands and his DNA is all over what this defense is going to be, from guys like Micah Parsons to Osa to, Trayvon Diggs and guys like bringing in like Stephon Gilmore. Dan Quinn has definitely had his way with what he wanted on this defense.
And on the other side, the offensive line, we know they've got their bookend tackles, a Pro Bowl center in Biotage, Tyler Smith, their first-rounder last year. But, of course, the huge news, they worked it out with Zach Martin. Jesse, how big was that? And just elaborate on kind of the talent of that offensive line protecting Prescott and opening lanes for the runners.
Yeah, getting Zach Martin back was paramount. I mean, you're talking about the guy, not only – you know, is he a solid offensive lineman? I mean, he's arguably the best offensive guard in the National Football League, and he's been that way since he got into the National Football League. And so, having him back in this offensive line kind of gives it a little bit more security. But if there's one outside of kicker, if there's one place on either offense or defense that I am most concerned about, it is offensive line. I know that Tyler Biadasz was a Pro Bowler last year, but there's still questions about his ability to hold up with his size in the middle. You know, Terrence still coming back off the ACL. You know, you always hear about the stories of it takes a guy at least a year to get back to full form. And I know that he's not a guy who's moving, you know, laterally and with heavy cuts, but still a taller guy, 300-pound guy, you have to have some lateral movement. Tyler Smith still adjusting to playing that offensive guard spot. And then what is Tyron Smith going to be at left tackle? Historically, this is a guy who's missed 3 to 5 football games the last 6-7 years of his career. You know, you always pray for no injuries, but it just always seems like the injury bug catches up to him. So having Zach Martin back, it is the one stable piece that you've had in this offensive line for the last 9 seasons. And he's been, you know, all pro, I think 8 of those 9 seasons he's been in the National Football League. He actually has more Pro Bowls than he has holding calls on him in his career. So to get Tyron Zach back is absolutely fantastic for Dak Prescott. But this offensive line is still, to me, full of a bunch of questions. And I think the Joneses saw that last Saturday in that preseason game and was like, yeah, Let me stop doing all this tough talking and get in here and make deals with Zach Martin.
Something for us to keep an eye on. Couple final thoughts, Jesse Holly, Believing Cowboys podcast. I got to ask you about their foes and my G-men. Nice surprise last year. New coach, new system, made the playoffs. I would not go so far as to call them a contender for anything beyond maybe making the playoffs. So what's the buzz as far as how much of a threat Big Blue is viewed as in the East?
You know, the NFC East in the last couple of years, you know, most people called it the NFC Least, right? Because we just didn't have many teams. But I said this when the Giants got rid of the joke of a head coach in Garrett and Joe Judge, and they got rid of the joke of front office personnel in Gettleman, and they actually got some real football people in there and signed some real people. I told people, I said, by this addition of elimination by addition, bringing those guys in, the football team is going to be better. And you saw the stride that Daniel Jones made last year, led the league in turnovers a year before, got with Brian Daboll. You saw the work that he was able to do with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and you saw some of that in Daniel Jones. The turnovers went down, him not having to play hero ball, understanding and putting himself in situations that he's able to succeed in. Again, last year, your best wide receiver didn't even play. Kenny Galladay wasn't even a guy who they put on the football field by choice. And so now you start seeing that they're adding more pieces, added Darren Waller, who, from my understanding, has been an absolute matchup nightmare during training camp, all training camp this offseason. The Giants got better, and they're going to continue to get better. Got Saquon in the fold. As long as he can stay healthy, the Giants are going to be a better football team. And, you know, this isn't going to be a runaway by the Philadelphia Eagles or runaway by the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be a knockdown, drag out, brutal beating that the NFC East does upon one another this year, with having to play each other, because you have really good defensive lines all across the board in New York, in Philadelphia, in Washington, and in Dallas. And if you don't come to play every single week, one of these teams will thump you on the head pretty good. And that's what you want, though. You want that competition. You want to be able to say that we have one of the best conferences in the league. And the Giants, you know, I think will find themselves, I'm not saying that they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. I'm not even saying the Cowboys are going to be Super Bowl contenders. But this conference as a whole will be much better because of the teams, like the Giants, are a better football team.
You know, I got to close with, if there's one thing Giants fans and Cowboys fans could agree with, we all hate Philly. So, you know,
yes.
they almost won it. Jalen Hurts obviously has become an elite player, cashed in. But they lost a lot, both coordinators, some key starters, their terrific safety, C.J. Gardner. So what's the feel about the Eagles maybe? Like you said, a lot of people are assuming that they're going to be the runaway favorite. I don't think so. What's the feel from through the Cowboy lens about the Eagles?
Yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, for Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts to begin to take the step. Some may say that he's not this prolific passer, but, I mean, they still have a lot of weapons. You talk about, you know, A.J. Brown, he's going to still be a stud at receiver and finding ways to get him open. But the biggest thing when it comes to Philadelphia is the defense. I mean, you know, it's the Georgia of the North, right? All those right. Stuff that they have on that defensive line, the linebackers, they have a stout defensive front, and that's going to give teams a headache. And all you want to do is be able to be in the game in the fourth quarter and then be able to give the football to your you know, your newly cashed out quarterback and hope that he can make the plays. So, again, I think Philly and Dallas kind of lead the crop of teams in the NFC East. But not by a large margin. It's not what it used to be, where it was Philly or Dallas head and shoulders above the rest, and then, you know, New York and Washington kind of fall where they fall. This is going to be a highly contested conference this year because of the so many different aspects that each team brings to the table. Like I said, New York, talk about, you know, Lawrence and Thibodeau and those guys up front that you guys have, and being able to do what you do with Daniel Jones, and the same thing with Philadelphia. And, you know, that defensive line in Washington is going to be great, and you hope that Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy can figure out their situation on offense. And they have weapons over there, you know, DeHon Jackson and Gibson, and of course one of my favorite receivers is Scary Terry. So, I mean, this conference is going to be one when we look back on it and go, wow. Look, these guys really play well this year.
Yeah, we look back to the late 80s through the mid 90s when the East was a beast. Maybe we'll get back there. Folks, he's Jesse Holly, kind enough to spend some time with us on today's show. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. Fourth and Long. Check out the Believe in Cowboys podcast, part of the Outstanding Believe Network. Jesse, great having you on. Really enjoyed our chat. Much appreciate your time. Be well. And, of course, as the season gets rolling, love to have you back.
Absolutely. Will do, man. Thank you so much for having me, my fellow Jersey brethren. And as always, go Tar Heels, go Cowboys.
All right. Take it easy, Jesse. Be well. Gotta love it.